Welcome, beloved brothers and sisters. Was she loud enough? Today I'm reading a text because it will be circulated, printed and circulated. Anybody who wants to have it afterwards can ask for it. It is available. The message of spiritual liberty, which we have the privilege of experiencing in our time, has always been offered to humanity in ways known and unknown, inspiring the free thinkers, in an interchange of thoughts and feelings. Am I speaking loud enough?
Yes.
Inspiring the free thinkers in an exchange of thoughts and feelings beyond narrow cultural boundaries. Obviously, over the ages, the original message gets regrettably remodeled in dogmatic theories by power seekers at the level of idolatry, confusing the converted believers. Was that sentence clear? Whereas the original ideals were destined to offer a helping hand toward the realization of truth, which cannot be the possession of any chosen orientation. As known from fairy tales, there is a magic formula used in tuning base metal into gold. This mystical tale symbolizes so specifically the work to be done. In purifying the mind from the confinement of traditional concepts, which do not necessarily correspond anymore to our time. Nor could our own preconceived ideas ever reflect the universal nature of wisdom. when truth falls in the hands of those who think that they know, it is then regrettably confined arbitrarily within rigid forms and clad with ancestral garbs, perpetuating false illusions. False illusions, which emphasize the specter of fanaticism. On the spiritual path, we must be careful not to fall in the spiral web of fanaticism. Whereas the wise restrain from making a display of speculative definitions of truth, avoiding thereby confusing misunderstandings. I hope you will understand what I'm saying now. Physical appearance and psychological qualities are not necessarily descriptive of moral integrity. And what is worse, false pretense is obviously a confusing example given to those who expect truth, truthfulness. When working on one's own convictions, every step taken is a reminder of one's responsibilities toward those who depend upon an example to follow. Whether we believe it or not, we all have an ego. Nevertheless, there is also beauty in our hearts. And when coordinating these two opposite energies, one is then in harmony with oneself and with others, like the rose and the thorn, which are both parts of one and the same plant. The rose offers beauty and perfume, whereas the thorn is ugly. The rose symbolizes our feeling heart. The thorn symbolizes our ego. And yet both thorn and rose are sustained by the same root. Our ego and our living heart are sustained by the all-pervading energy. The thorns which one is expected to vanquish are those, of course, as said, of one's own ego, which is in fact depressing to oneself, but one doesn't realize it. And, of course, we all know that the ego of others prick deeply into our hearts. Beloved brothers and sisters, modesty is not necessarily weakness. It is a feeling arising from the living heart, which is secretly conscious of its inner beauty, while at the same time veiling itself even from its own sight. This inspiring attitude is characteristic of the wise, who recognize that both impulses, ego and modesty, are sparks of the all-providing energy manifesting in all initiatives. Therefore, no experience in life is worthless, and not one moment is really wasted, providing one is wise enough to thoroughly assemble the main points of past memories. Even in a fall, there is a hidden stepping stone by which one might rise above one's own shortcomings. Every effort made toward the fulfillment of one's life purpose brings one step by step closer to the ultimate goal, and can be seen as a humble contribution to the divine purpose. The seed finds the fulfillment of the purpose, reaching deep into the earth as a root while simultaneously rising above the surface as a plant, spreading out in full blossom under the rays of the sun. Hoping that this short note might help us all during this summer school to be harmonious with oneself, to be harmonious with others, and not to think that any of us is more spiritual than the other. Spirituality is a word which cannot be defined. And if we define it, we are only defining our own ego. Spirituality can only be understood as radiance. But that radiance, again, can only be perceived if one is oneself open to receiving it. So this is a paradox. And the more we think about all these things, the more we realize that everything is a paradox, everything. Life and death is a paradox. wisdom and stupidity is a paradox. What is beautiful for one person is not beautiful for another. What is wisdom for one is not beautiful, not wisdom for another. And that is why the less one tries to teach others, the more we will be able to teach ourselves. To teach what? First of all, our master has given all the teachings that one can possibly assimilate in a lifetime. And whoever thinks that they are in need of the teachings of another teacher are being untrue to our master. We do not need another teacher. We have our master. We have his teachings. And I'm saying again, be careful. If we think that we need the teachings of another teacher, we are being untrue to our master. And we have forgotten that our life is not long enough to be able to assimilate, study, and make a reality out of all the teachings that our master has left us. Let us try, during the summer school at least, to choose one sentence of our master's teachings, to read it, and to try to make a reality out of it in everything that we think, in everything that we say, in everything that we do. And after having done so, close our eyes, imagine that our master is in front of us and just ask a simple question. Beloved master, am I acting as expected from you? If not, please offer me inner guidance.